bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today we'll be talking about decision making and how important it is to make great decisions. And like a captain in an airplane who picks up a new airplane, a new crew, passengers, he has to sign a logbook. It says, I take full responsibility for my aircraft, my crew, and my passengers. And he signs the logbook. The co-pilot can't do that. And so today we're going to be talking about decision making once again, because a lot of our men in the WINGS program have made some questionable decisions that have consequences with them. Many of them have served prison time because of the decisions that they made. So we want to learn from each and every decision that is actually made in our lives. And when we talk about decision making, for us here in the WINGS program, we want to put this decision that we're about to make up against what God says to do and not to do. Where do we stand when it comes to what God's word says? So what I'm about to do, is it okay with God, or does he say not to do it? And that's important. So before we rush and make a swift decision that's good for me only, because a decision that I'm about to make has got to be aligned with God, it's got to be good for my wife and children. If it's not good for my wife and children, if it's high risk, something could happen, then I probably shouldn't be doing it. And we also want to look at some other things. Is it good for the community? Or is it against what the community values are? So is it good for God? Is it good for me? Is it good for my wife and kids? Is it good for the community? If we have all yeses there, then let's go ahead and make that decision. But if it's not good for my wife and kids, if it's not good for me personally, why am I going to make that decision? I want you to think about that, because in the WINGS program, we've had thousands of men come through. And I'm going to share with you some stories about decisions that were made that led to incarceration. And the first one had to do with a gentleman who had two DUIs in his background. And he was picked up outside a 7-Eleven in Morrisville, Pennsylvania. And on his way out of the 7-Eleven, he was stumbling out, and one of the police officers in the area saw this, that he was getting into a car and about to drive. And so he was arrested there, and sure enough, he was well intoxicated. And we represented this gentleman because he had no lawyer, and his sponsor had given up on him. His wife had thrown him out. His kids no longer wanted him at home, because he was irresponsible. He was unstable. He was no longer the husband and father that he once was. He was no longer the provider that he once was. And basically, he was in a position where no one really was there for him. And he turned to the WINGS program. He turned to me. And I took him under my belt, and we had a great talk. And I said, look, you have nowhere to go. I said, so the first thing we're going to do is when you already, I'm going to take you back to your home, and you're going to wait there until your wife comes, and you're going to get on your knees, and you're going to beg her to allow you to come into your home once again. And that's exactly what he did. And by the grace of God, he was invited to come back into his home because he really had nowhere to sleep, nowhere to go. And for 90 days, we put him into the Wings program. We prepared a document for the judge, a letter for the judge, with a letter of request that he was able to do a house arrest versus incarceration. And he was able to do that, but not at home. He had to go to a transitional home because his wife truly didn't want him to do it there. But I will tell you that this was a real learning experience. And in the courtroom, I represented this individual. And behind us were 40 other men who had DUIs. And so alcohol is a problem. It's an accepted drug, if you will. And we can buy it, we can drink it, and we can have multiple drinks. But we've got to be careful with the laws because, you know, one DUI, and this gentleman had two, will affect your credibility in the eyes of the state. And you could get a suspended driver's license. And so we went to court for this individual, and we gave the judge that document with a letter of request. And the judge said, Mr. Montone, I'm going to grant you your request on one condition. We're going to test him for alcohol in his system. We're going to do urine test right now. If he tests positive, he's going to be incarcerated. But if the test is negative and he passes, then we'll give him house arrest as you have requested. And that's what he got. And he served basically 90 days in house arrest and 6 months in house arrest, excuse me. And he did that at a transitional home. But that was the beginning of making some great changes, better choices, wiser decisions, because it truly, in fact, impacted his freedom and his family, his work, and his whole life was impacted. And he was in his early 50s at the time. So just tell you, where alcohol is concerned, we have to be very careful. And recently, I've taken on a new individual in the Wings program, and we're running the Wings program for him. And basically, you know, this is another person who has made a poor decision to drive while under the influence. And when we drive under the influence, only bad things can happen. And so I'll just tell you that, you know, the motor vehicle itself is a weapon. You can assault people and property with the motor vehicle and be charged with, you know, assault with a motor vehicle and serve time, as he served 90 days and is now in the Wings program. And it doesn't end there because there's, you know, 5-year probation and, there's a 3-month parole and a 6-month house arrest and a 1-year driver's license suspension. So there's a lot that goes along with the, violation of driving while under the influence and using a vehicle, you know, to destroy property or to hurt people. Unintentionally, of course, but nevertheless, you become the person who was engaged in it, who was at the helm of that car. And we've got to make some better choices in the future. So we'll be working with this individual and helping him to move forward in his life. But many years ago, we also had a woman who was driving under the influence and using her cell phone down in South Philadelphia. And this woman had unfortunately run a person down. She ran a man down and he was killed. And she was charged with vehicular homicide. And I just tell you that she served at least 4 years in prison, and she learned a great lesson about driving under the influence and using a cell phone while you're driving on top of it. But I just tell you that the decisions we make very often need to be examined in retrospect to take a look. Can we do better? Can we make a better decision next time? Can we teach our kids to avoid these kinds of situations, which can be devastating because they affect your freedom, your family, your work, you know, your home life, your credibility? Imagine being on house arrest for 6 months or to be on probation for 5 years. You've got to be clean. You got to make sure you don't violate that probation or parole or house arrest, because you can be picked up and taken right back in at any moment. And so she served over 4 years and came into the Wings program. She had a clean record before that. So for me, you know, it was the first time I had seen a person in the Wings program charged with vehicular homicide. And so it was an eye-opening experience and a good lesson for everybody about driving while under the influence. We also had another person who made a decision one night to go out to a nightclub, and he was with his girlfriend. And, you know, this show today, we're talking about decision-making. And when he came out of the nightclub with his girlfriend, there was a fight going on, an argument going on. And someone said to him, a good friend said to him, "Here, take this gun and shoot that guy." And that's exactly what he did, and he killed him. And that guy was in the Wings program and graduated, and he made a split decision based on what somebody asked him to do. And that's where decision-making skills come in. And we got to be careful when we make decisions and we're rushing to satisfy someone else's need. We've got to be careful that we're not making the wrong decision that will impact other people in a negative way or impact our entire life in a negative way. And this is a true story about a guy who came out of a nightclub and within seconds had killed a man. He knew nothing about the argument, nothing about the individual, but he shared with me in a private session that he, you know, did indeed, you know, pull that trigger. However, you know, we learn from these decisions. We gain wisdom and we make better decisions. And like a captain of an airplane who's going from point A to point B, let's say he's flying from New York to London across the ocean, and he's got to be exact. So he's got to have good information before he makes the, you know, flight itself. He's got to study his weather, study his aircraft, make sure his fuel is proper, where he's got fuel to the destination, the alternate reserve fuel. He's got to make sure he's got everything that he needs mechanically taken care of for the aircraft. These decisions are not rushed, and we don't want to have distractions while we're gathering information that can lead to a poor decision, you know, because these things have happened in the past where people have actually taken off without fueling the aircraft and had to return for landing. And this has happened at major airlines. So I know in working in aviation safety concurrently with the Wings program that decision making is key to success in Wings. And as we use a lot of aviation analogies, you know, there have been many, many times that things have occurred and we learn from the mistakes. So we make better decisions the next time. Aviation is the kind of industry where we learn from accidents. We learn from fatal accidents, from incidents. And then laws are made, procedures are changed, and we make a better decision, a safer, you know, outcome is on the horizon because of what we learn from the actual fatal accident or incident that took place. And so many years ago in another category talking about decision making, we had a gentleman who had a gambling problem and he came through the Wings program. We got him home early and we were able to do very well in court. We got him a job. We gave him a membership at one of the fitness gyms in Philadelphia, and we helped to get him moving forward in the right direction. And this person had a gambling problem. He had gambled in the past many, many times, and he was a contractor, and he had taken deposits from many people, but never finished the job. And he spent that money at casinos in different areas of the United States. But at some point, you know, he got caught, and he had roughly 21 people he had taken advantage of and owed a lot of money. He was the second most wanted man at one point in the state of Pennsylvania. But I just tell you that when he came through Wings, he made some changes. But it doesn't mean we have a guarantee, because at some point, even though we were helping him on the outside and starting to, you know, pay him, he started to, you know, get drawn into the same area of weakness, his most vulnerable area, which was gambling. And although he signed a contract never to go into any casino in the United States, at one point he made that decision to go in again. And one day I got a call from a detective in Bensalem, PA, and he said, Mr. Montone, do you know this guy? And I said, yes, I do. I said, he works for me. He lives at our recovery home. I said, well, he said, he's over here at this casino and he's in a stolen car. And I said, well, he's not allowed to go in casinos. He signed a contract. He's got that as part of his deal, you know, with the judiciary. He said, well, he's been arrested and he's going here. So I'll just tell you that although he was telling me one thing and I was starting to believe in him, starting to trust him, I still needed to verify some things. And sure enough, you know, this was all true. And he had to serve 4 more years. And he did that because, again, he had violated the agreement that he had, you know, signed, which was to never enter a casino again. And so, you know, did he think about the consequences of going back to jail after serving many years? And did he consider the fact that he might have to serve 4 more years, you know? And so the answer is no, he did not consider the consequences. He didn't take it seriously. He thought he could get away with it. And very often people will do things that they believe they can get away with. And what happens is when caught, the consequences are there and they have to deal with them. So in the Wings program, you know, we've dealt with many, many types of situations, both male and female, where decisions were made that were not only illegal, unethical, you know, or immoral, okay, but they went against the Word of God. What God says to do and what He says not to do is very, very important, and it must be visible. It must be, you know, viewed from time to time so that we don't forget what God tells us not to do. Years ago, we were doing a program for the Trenton Judiciary. It was part of the ISP program, the Intensive Supervisory Program in Trenton, New Jersey, where they have pre-release of nonviolent offenders. They can come out 90 days early if they were nonviolent when they committed the crime. And so we had a seminar we did for 14 women, 15 women. And one of the women, you know, at one point during the seminar said to me, she says, you know, Mr. Montone, she says, I'm an accountant. I said, really? I said, that's fantastic. She says, yeah, I have a degree in accounting. I said, that's terrific. I said, well, how did you get here? She says, well, I was working for a company and I embezzled $70,000. And so, you know, that woman made a decision to steal $70,000 and make the company's money her own. And so with that, she enters into the not-to-do zone with which God tells us in the commandments, do not steal. And so the consequences of that is that you served, you know, some time in Trenton State, and she served time and had to pay the consequences. And one of the consequences is that, you know, she lost her ability to be an accountant in the state of New Jersey. Her credibility is not very good. And it's actually on a scale of 1 to 10 would be like a 0, because she violated that code and she stole money as an accountant. And she was in charge of a department. And so I just tell you once again, when we're thinking about doing something, let's take our time and look at what God says to do and what he says not to do. Is what I'm about to do going to offend God? Is it going to put me in the not to do zone? What are the consequences of doing what I'm about to do? Who is going to be impacted by this thing I'm about to do, this decision I'm about to make? Is it good for me? Yes or no? Is it good for my wife? Yes or no? Is it good for my children? Yes or no? Is it good for the company that I'm working for? Yes or no? And if you have all yeses, then by all means, you're making the right decision. But if you have no's, if you've taken the time to answer those questions and you have no's, then the answer is clear. We can no longer make this decision and proceed in this direction because the consequences are very great. And if you look at number one, what God says to do and not to do, it's pretty clear. It's very simple. God's laws are easily read, easily interpreted. They're for children, as we're all children of God. And when God says, do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery, it's very simple. It's not something that is unclear, ambiguous. God makes it clear because he wants the best for us. And we've said it many times, but the book of Psalms says that the steps of a good man is in order by the Lord. And we have to comply with that order. It's not something we can choose not to do. So I share some of these stories with you, my friends, because we have seen thousands of men and women and children who have not benefited by the decisions that we're making. So when we look at decision making, we want to take our time, to not rush, not be distracted. Like the pilot of an airplane who makes a choice to take off, okay, with something, you know, not properly done in the aircraft. It's high risk, like the pilot who is unsure whether or not he got fuel. He hasn't seen the fuel receipt. He would never take off. I must have the receipt. But there have been those who have taken off because they were rushing to get airborne, rushing to take off to get to the destination when, in fact, they never got fuel and had to return for landing. And what are the consequences of that? Of a pilot departing without the fuel requirements met. Very simply, he's violated a federal law because he has to have fuel from the departure airport to the destination airport, fuel from the destination to the alternate airport, and 45 minutes of reserve fuel. So if he does not verify that he has that, he's in violation. He and the first officer or the co-pilot. We have to take time to verify things that are important, things that are simple. Do I have gas in the car before I drive it? Are my tires properly, inflated before I drive it? Is my door locked at home before I leave the house? Are my children secure? Is my wife and family secure at home? Have I done my homework for my teacher in school? There are things that affect our credibility every day that we take for granted. But once again, there are consequences for not verifying, taking the time to verify that things that are done. And things that are important require, you know, just a check or double check. A triple check very often, like making sure the stove is turned off or the iron is unplugged. Very simple things that have caused fires in the past. You know, making sure the windows are locked and that children don't, you know, fall out a window. There's all kinds of examples we can point out. But again, today's program is key, you know, and focused on decision making, because with each decision that we make, you know, our lives will be in a better situation. We'll live a better quality of life if we're making, you know, better decision. Each decision counts. And, you know, when we make those decisions swiftly without thinking about them, and when we're distracted, very often the outcome is detrimental. It's not something that we can use in as an example in a positive way. So I lay this out for you, my friends, because in the Wings program, we have thousands of men who are preparing for reentry into society. Men who are now inside recovery homes or prison walls who are listening to this program. And when they come out, they have to make better decisions. Otherwise, you know, they could repeat the past. But our job in Wings is to help to build the stability and the credibility of each and every man and woman who comes through the Wings program. Our job is to get the very best out of that person so that he can get the best results in his life. And we waste no time. We pull no punches. We want to make sure that, you know, each individual is gaining wisdom and learning from previous mistakes, just like the individual who began the Wings program today, who is now serving, you know, a house arrest for 6 months and a parole for 3 months and on probation for 5 years. We want the very best for him and for his family, and we're going to do our job to help him to prepare a plan of action for the future, and that includes making great decisions, because each decision counts. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day, and God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless.